Lucy.
I'm so pleased to be here for the 2009 edition of the U.S. Brass Band Championships, and on stage is the Prairie Brass Band. This is John Phillips. I'll be making comments here. Cool. All right, get the audience engaged here. Excellent. Cool. I would just suggest once the horns come in, once the euphoniums are in, or baritones are in, the other voices, percussion, you want to back down just a little bit more, keep that same intensity, but rim shots or whatever we got going on there, just a little less sound. We'd even love to hear the color of the clapping. Good tempo, all sustained all the way through here. Band needs to feel into. We've lost a little bit of the pace where you started. Good. A little bit of a hiccup there, but we're back on track. Good. Our tempo is a key consideration here. Try to stay locked in. That's a nice sound in the middle. Voices of the band, beautiful. Good for you, that soprano cornet. Yeah, what a great lead line there, excellent. Nice job on the timpani there. Good answer to that trombone statement. Yeah, bass is good for you. It's still just a little unsettled, but I think, you know, it feels like you guys can lock this in and the whole groove, so to speak, is going to make a big difference in terms of successful performance. Yeah, it's just crazy at the end. Is there a way to possibly, or might you consider, sort of a more, some sense of build here? It almost seemed like when we got the cue, we kind of reached a plateau, and the dynamic intensity and the build to that beautiful ending was just a little bit already, you know, you reached that benchmark, and there wasn't quite the sense of growth through there to give it that final climax, that final impact that I think you've worked towards, and it could be even more effective for you there. And both musically effective, and I think in terms of what this program is all about and the showmanship that you can illustrate as you build to that. So that's just something to keep in mind.
And you can see my copies of it here. It all goes to a great charity. And we move down from that to opera. I guess it's fair to say that despite being one of the great opera composers of all time, and a man who wrote opera after opera after opera, all of which were great successes, that his greatest success originally wasn't the Barber of Seville. When he gave his first performance at the Teatro Argentina in Rome, all sorts of things went wrong. And it's apparently the audience spent most of the evening...
By the way, you have that piece up for one of the awards here with the Best New Arrangement. I think that is great. I mean, I think stylistically it's something different, it's fresh, it's got elements of rock and jazz and... but yet scored within the traditional format of the brass band. So good for you. I think there's wonderful potential for that, and I'd like to encourage you to continue rehearsing it, trying to do the whole thing, and see if you can just really get to lock in a little bit more securely.
And then when they've lost the original overture performance as well, he used that same overture again. So if you look back into Rossini's workbook, as it were, that he used the same overture for three different operas. He knew what was good in Mr. Rossini. The opera of the Barber, the Barber, is Figaro. And Figaro is, of course, the same man who Mozart used in The Marriage of Figaro. What's amazing is that despite the fact that Mozart's opera predated Rossini's opera by, I guess, 100 years, that they come, it's the same story, but Mozart took the second part of the story, and Rossini took the original part of the story when Figaro was indeed a barber in Seville. But what he did, of course, more than anything else, he wasn't just the barber, he was the man who could fix anything. I don't even know whether he could give you a decent shave or a decent haircut, but he was the factotum, and Figaro could fix anything. You wanted a woman, he could fix it. You wanted to get married, he could fix it. You wanted to buy a house, he could find a house for you. I guess if they'd had motor cars there, you would have even bought a second-hand car from Mr. Figaro. Rossini introduces the man with a great, great fanfare. It's a wonderful piece of music that is one of the most famous opera arias of all time. Today, the Prairie Brass Band have got their own factotum. So to play the Lago al Factotum from the Barber of Seville, please welcome Paul Eakley.
That's just right. Excellent opening. Very, very dramatic. Love the showmanship of our soloist, Paul. Great job. You take some risks with tempo, and the band follows your director really carefully. Nice job from our principal clarinet. Great sound in that soprano range as well. Very nice dynamic contouring control. If we can get each time we go from a lower note to a higher note, if we can just give a little bit more support of that top note, I think, you know, backing off the air sometimes may cause some of that pinching off of the tone. Job, soprano. Nice, delicate contribution from the bells in there as well. Okay, so when the soloist plays in unison with the other voices here, we need to listen carefully and try to match pitch. Thank you. possible cornet zest and our soprano. Good job on that little cadenza moment, and the famous Figaro statement, Paul, excellent. Bass band. Wonderful ending. Excellent. Had some tentative moments in the early going, but everyone regrouped and gained confidence and played with confidence and competence as the music proceeded. Some nice virtuosic moments from both the soloists and the lead members of each section.
There are kind of three kinds of composers that existed in Russia. There were the composers like Shostakovich, who were constantly a thorn in the side of authority. And Stalin simply hated Shostakovich, and it colored virtually everything that Shostakovich wrote until Stalin died. There were the guys that nobody cared about, like Gerdiker, and everything that Gerdiker had written is just sort of gone. And then on the other side, there are composers who really were communists, supported the regime and did everything they could to sort of project socialism into society through culture. One of those was Khachaturian, and of course it meant that for many, many years his music, even though it was an Armenian, the Russians really supported Khachaturian's music to such an extent that he wrote a great ballad that everybody thinks is somehow now is a great, wonderful sort of ballet about life, in glorious life in Russia, very happy music, things like the Sacred Dance, was actually on the ballet is on a farm. It's on a farm that is run by the government, and it's everybody there is working for peanuts. Well, they're not working for peanuts, it's a cotton farm. And the best thing that happens, the most exciting thing that happens in the whole thing is when the corrupt people who are running the government on the farm set fire to the warehouse so that they can make an insurance claim on it. So much for socialism being good for you. But it kept Aaron Khachaturian in a living. The music is glorious, and Howard Snell has put together a wonderful suite of music from this ballet, which he calls simply a Khachaturian suite. This is the wonderful finale. Lishinka!
Well, this is such a challenge to have the 2D ensemble playing the unison figures, between the horns and the first cornet section. When the counter melodic material enters, is it possible to balance so that the filigree work subsides somewhat and we just let the more tuneful moment be in the foreground?
Thank you.
wonderful virtuosic playing from our solo cornet. Final. I like the sense of style that's been maintained all the way through here, and then we return to the ostinato pattern. Good control from the drummer as he backs down, perhaps even more, to let the tonality resonate through the hall, but still keep that pulse. Yeah, it's tricky to keep that going and not lose time. That's great. Good for you. That's why we practice our chromatic scales, isn't it? Beautiful. Yeah, came together very nicely. Again, you know, there are some seams in the performance, but nothing, you know, substantial. Your ability to kind of regroup and recapture the spirit of the music and the intensity, that was very, very effectively done. Congratulations. That works really wonderfully. So, you know, just conceptually, it's just a matter of thinking longer phrases, not thinking bar by bar, but really trying to connect those repeated patterns and think, how do we take that and happen over time? How do we make it more connected? How do we make it more seamless in order for it to just flow along, to have that fluid energy that things like that does? And there's some balance issues that, as I spoke about specifically in there, we want to see to sort of let that secondary melodic material come through, and yet it's just kind of like taking the dials up and down a little bit more within the overall structure. Good work, though, on a very difficult arrangement.
I guess, well, I never did, so I wonder how many of you received it as well. But this musical was just full of great songs. The Ladies of Town, Where or When, My Funny Valentine, which apparently is the favourite song of Dallas's wife, and he will be in great trouble tonight because they're not going to play that one today. However, today's choice will be familiar to everyone. It's a new arrangement by Dallas, especially for today. It's a fantastic hit. Johnny One Note.
Yo, nice job on the timbali. Yeah, great job, everybody. Wonderful ensemble sound here. Good cohesiveness in the sonority of the ensemble. Okay, great. A little tricky there, trying to get the alignment happening. Nice work on the xylophone. Great. Good, tubas. Just a little more definition from you here, perhaps. I appreciate the dynamic shift. Let's see if we can keep the same energy happening that you had at the forte and fortissimo levels. Nice build. Yeah, beautiful. Good for you. very, very good quality sound in that upper tessitura from our soprano. Okay, I'll make my comment after it's all done. All right.
Great.
Once again, I just, you know, same as the other tune I was talking about, if you might consider when we have repeated patterns for multiple bars and multiple frequency of repetition, it's possible to sort of make that go somewhere. But anyways, also, when you get to the measure 129, 30, 31, 32, and what happens is the clarity and the definition of the articulation started to subside a little bit. We didn't get the rhythmic feel that you had going on earlier, where people were much more attentive to that. You know, sometimes that happens because we go, oh, the piece is almost over, and we kind of relax. Other times it's because we didn't get to that part in rehearsal, or we didn't... There's so much other stuff layered, there's so many layers that we kind of just sort of think, oh, our part isn't that important. So your ability to sort of kind of meld together in a cohesive way, it's always going to be uniformity. And articulation equals rhythm. So more of that we can do, more effective your performance is going to be.
There's a great tradition in your country of rather than brass bands, which are a fairly new tradition, of the wind band. And one of the leaders was a man called Roger Nixon. Roger was one of the great California-based composers. Studied, actually, with an Englishman, one Arthur Bristol was over here during the war years. He studied at what you currently call the University College Berkeley, which we in England would call the University College Berkeley. How we in England get to pronounce B-E-R-K, Bark, when it's clearly should be B-A-R-K, and you pronounce it Burke, and we think you're odd. I don't know. But there we are, it's one of those quaint little things about our language. He studied at Berkeley, and was a great, great writer. He wrote literally hundreds of things for the wind band. This is one of his early compositions and has been rescored for brass band, especially for today, by Dallas. This is Roger Nixon's Fanfare March.
Wow, fantastic flourish of virtuosity here from our cornet section. Wow, beautiful. Excellent contouring of the dynamics. Good statement from the principal cornet. To get just a little bit more clarity and definition sometimes. These high notes really present a challenge in terms of losing time, but I think you know, the offbeats, the undercurrent of rhythmic energy is pretty stable throughout. Nice pairing. starring at Merger 108. The juxtaposition of this alto tenor voice in contrast to the sostenuto lines on top is great. We may want to do something with those longer notes. You know, you don't want to flatline on things. You want to think direction, give it a little bit of growth forward or diminuendo. It doesn't actually be dramatically done, but just some energy there. Good buoyancy and flow here, and I think that the band has a really good concept of where the phrases are going. Nice libido effect there at measure 1203. Something to continue to work forward on as a more uniform forte piano. Everybody made the attempt, which is great. Now can we make it more uniform in terms of levels? The real important part here is the tune, and I think we want to try to get the low brass instrument, the flugelhorn, to state that a bit more expressively. Euphonium, flugelhorn, just sing that through a little bit more. I think actually as I hear it in this strain, it could happen in previous moments. So just a bit more tuneful, a bit more lyrical, I think is going to bring the expressive clarity of that moment through more effectively. You know, harmonically, it's kind of a little oblique, and I really was pleased to hear the attention to listening within the ensemble, across the ensemble, try to stay connected, because it's not intervallically, it doesn't sit really nicely, and it really challenges you to be really aware of the idiosyncrasies of the harmonic palette there. Good job, everyone.
In support for Scottish independence, along with another great Scottish resident of California, Sean Connery. It's easy to be independent if you're rich. However, Andrew Duncan's arrangement draws more on Dewey McLean's tune than Trevor Jones's film arrangement, and is, in a word, stunning. Again.
Really, you wonder what the possibilities are for making that a more of an elongated build to this impact at A, or if you're going to, even in the last two measures, something more compelling. Nice listening in the cornets here. Good tuning. All right, there we can be a little bit more careful and cautious about our octaves. Pages. Anyways, that's fine. That's all transitional material. What have you got? Okay, nice use of color in this small hand gong here. Very, very nice, really well played, very musical. Okay, horns, good for you. The challenge here is to be really consistent in the rhythmic pattern, rhythmic definition. It's not uniform within the section and actually between patterns. So that's something you can keep building on, I think, and that'll help define. Plus, this timing, the pacing here is got a little push and pull to it. So the challenge, of course, is that this is a lot of repetition and it goes over a long period of time. So like some of the things you were doing really well before, you want to think bigger picture of the phrase and try to connect the notes. Think rather than just one bar at a time or even smaller subdivision within that, try to think how, you know, 3, 4, 6, 8 bars are connected together. Good, I think that's a great balance at F. The filigree work on top is staying in the background and letting us hear this beautiful, rich sonority from the sostenuto chords. Very nice percussion. Excellent. Yeah, I like this. Beautiful. Here's where I think you can use the percussion to really be the energy force. They can really take it in that long, long build to the end. They can be the ones who sort of drive it, because you've got the entire brass group, with the exception of the tubas, right up across the front. and the percussion can take it and build on that and just keep the energy level coming forward. But what an exciting way to end. Wonderful choice of music today. Some serious music in terms of the challenges that are represented for each of the sections and individuals and collectively, and you kind of actually ended the way you started, with some sort of tentativeness and some rhythmic tempo instability, but it did build. There we go. As it built with intensity to the end, I think it regrouped a little bit. But just as I was saying, the first tune, the final tune, the kind of the weaker moments of the performance today, but everything in between, sandwich in between, was great. So let's just get the bread on the outside of our sandwich a little bit more well baked, and you're going to just be a magnificent ensemble and representation here at this festival, as you always have been. So thank you. Thank you.